Well, we are going to wrap up our month-long harvest discussion this morning. We've been talking about it all month, kind of using the harvest as our theme. And the weather hasn't been the greatest the last couple days for, I guess, the farmer's harvest, with all the wind and the rain and whatnot. But like I said, it's a reminder that the harvest is contingent on, well, God calls the rules on that, right? But He also calls us to a different harvest, and that's the one that we're called into. But we're called in to a harvest that's not reliant on weather. It's reliant on Spirit. It's reliant on God to help us and point us in the direction. But it does seem that the weather can affect our harvest as well sometimes. You know, seasons of life, even the actual weather can kind of get in our way once in a while. But we need to trudge through that and realize that we're called to this harvest, to help with this harvest from the greater good, the greatest good that there is. So before we get into our scripture this morning, let's do a quick review. So as Christians, we're called to help, are we called to help bring in a harvest? That's a question for y'all. Are we called to bring in a harvest as Christians? Yeah. And what is that harvest? People. Plain and simple. I mean, it's hearts, it's souls, but when it comes right down to it, it's people. God's people. And we're all His. It's just whether or not the folks realize it or not, and if we realize it or not. So yeah, people is, that's our harvest. Are we called to partake in this harvest in the same way? Every one of us. Are we called to do the exact same thing in this harvest? No, we're all unique in this harvest, in our work. We've all been granted different gifts. Some of us have the same gifts. Some of us have the same batch of gifts. We have more than one. But we all have different strengths, different gifts that God uses to bring in that harvest through us. If we all had the same gift and then, you know, this one here never shows up, then, you know, it's lacking. That's why God gives, He spreads it around to help us out so that we can help Him, so we can do His will. Of course not. Of course we don't have the same gifts because we're a team. We do this all together. These are all gifts that God has given us for His mission for us and His glory. In our scripture last week, we read, it was Luke 10, verse 2, is what I'm going to use here this morning to start us off. And He says, "And He said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Jesus speaking here. Jesus was reminding us that there's a lot of work to be done. A lot of work to be done. There's a lot of people to reach, to help, to point towards Him. This is part of our mission, part of our tending the fields. And that we should pray that workers will be sent. So, He says, "Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Who are the laborers? That's us, folks. That is professing believers of Jesus Christ. Those are the laborers. To be sent out. Go make disciples that make disciples. Preach, teach, baptize. Maybe our prayers for laborers being sent out are also prayers that we may accept that mission. When we pray this prayer, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers, maybe that's a prayer of self-reflection saying, help me see that, and because He's already sent us, but help me accept that sending. Because He's already called us. So maybe it's a prayer that we may accept our mission and go, that we may not only be sent, but that we dare to go. Christina and I went to Findlay Thursday. Would you call it a conference? I don't know if I'd call it a conference. It was a simulcast thing, a presentation
and had speakers. This thing was simulcast around the world, but we also had local speakers in Findlay, and one of them was a guy named Juan Martinez. And Juan is a former inmate of the Marion Correctional Institution, or whatever. Huh? Yeah, whatever. MCI. Yeah, it is. Okay, the prison in Marion. Let's put it that way. He was a former inmate of that. But he's also a graduate of Weinbrenner College, because they have a branch right there in the prison, Weinbrenner Seminary, sorry, right there in the prison at Marion Correctional. And he's like one of the first batch of graduates from the PTI program. Same program that I'm in. And he got up there and spoke, and a couple things hit me the most. One was, yeah, he said that his faith, he kind of said it both ways, but that his faith basically led him to prison. He was in the drug trade, got caught up in that, and ended up serving 15 years in prison. And his fiance got deported, and his kids ended up being raised by someone else. And stuff. So it was a rough go. And he's like, he says, how is this working out for me? But then some people dared, and this is the way he put it, because some people dared to step into the prison system to minister to him and other inmates, is why he was where he is today. And he used that word dared, because they dared to step into my life, is really what he was saying. He also spoke about the limited amount they could actually do, right? Because when they're going into the system, the prison system, to minister to these guys, they can't stay there all day. He says, you know, we would have the service and they'd have to leave. And it was kind of a bummer. But then here's what happened. Then the guys that they were ministering to in this prison began ministering to other ones, and now they're running the worship. Because these people dared to step into their lives. The next person to speak actually was the deputy warden of Marion Correctional. And the first words out of her mouth were, I really don't like following Juan, because his story is so amazing. And he only got like, what, 9 minutes or something like that? I don't, you know, could have listened to him for all day. But it's that faith anywhere, you know, people daring to step out. These people that are the laborers that are stepping in, daring to go into the harvest. Excuse me. And this work in our Father's fields, it's not easy. And if it were, there would probably be plenty of workers, right? No, it's easy work. Let's go. So we're going to get into our scripture. You know, the fields that we tend are various. So we're going to talk about fields today. And we're going to do that through hopefully a familiar parable of Jesus's, from Mark 4, verses 3 to 9. This is Jesus speaking. He says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some of the seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seeds fell into the good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hopefully this is a familiar one for you. But let's picture this for a moment. You know, a farmer carries his seed out to the field, and whether it's by cart or just him lugging a bag, I don't know back then, you know, how they were doing this. And some of that precious cargo falls out along the way. Falls through the cracks of the wagon, a tear in the bag, ends up along the path. You probably see this, right? Because as I was reading this and thinking about this, I couldn't help but think of, you know, well, I mean, I know we're in the harvest, but you know, you see the piles of grain alongside the road for where they're, you know, dumping the harvest into the trailers or the trucks or whatever, and there's always, seems like there's a pile there. And what happens? I'll get scarfed up by the birds or by the animals. Hey, a free meal, easy meal. Or we end up grinding it into flour as we're driving over it on the roads, right? Especially now that they got everything chipped and sealed, it makes it grind a little easier, I guess. I don't know. But that's what happens with that first one. And that second soil, that rocky soil, the first one, it says it just doesn't make it into the fields. The farmer sowed these seeds. This, the image that they give us here is that they sowed the seed by casting it, you know, throwing it out, broadcast feeding it, you know, out into the fields. And sometimes that seed would fall in the rocky terrain. And it'll grow. All it takes to grow seed is a little water and a little sun and some air. It'll sprout right up. Doesn't mean it's going to live long because it had no roots, no place to put its roots down. And so when the sun got hot, it scorched it. No fruit, no plant. Or when you cast the seed, it ended up in the, I don't know, the thistle patch or the weed patch, the thorn patch, where it had to fight for nourishment among other things that are out there with it. And it would grow up, but it wouldn't produce fruit because it didn't have all the nourishment that it needed. But that last batch fell on prepared soil, good fertile soil. Could get down into the roots into the ground, into the dirt, get that nourishment, grow up big and strong, produce lots of fruit. I did read, it says, back in this time where Jesus is walking around, said, you know, a fivefold return or fivefold harvest, you know, 60-fold, yeah, the yield, sorry, that's the word I'm looking for, the yield, wasn't bad. 10 was about average, I guess. 5 was, so anything above 10, they said, was pretty outstanding. And he's saying 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Actually, when we see 100-fold, that kind of thing, you did read some of that stuff in the Old Testament, that's signs of God's abundance. Reminders of Him in our lives. So that stuff that fell into the good soil, it had those firm roots, nourished, it thrived abundantly. And I hope most of you know this parable and the meaning of it, but for good measure, let's go through it a bit, okay? And to do that, Jesus gives us the explanation right here and carrying on at verse 14. It says, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the one who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among the thorns, and they're those that hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Excuse me. What's the soil? Start there. What is the soil that Jesus is speaking about? Because that's important to know. More than people, it's the heart. It's hearts. Yeah. The soil is hearts, people's hearts. That's what we need to realize. Let's start with where we're working, the fields we're working in, the communities, but in the end, that ground that we're trying to plant into is someone's heart. And Jesus gives us these examples of different hearts. He says, the sower is the one who sows the word. That is us. He's not talking about himself, even though he did that. He's not talking about God in general. He did that. He's putting this on us now. He says, the sowers are the ones who sow the word. The laborers into the fields. That is us that he's calling. And he reminds us about the fields that we're working in. But the sower, it's us. We're supposed to go and make disciples that make disciples, baptize them, teach them, preach them. You know, all this stuff. The Great Commission. The Great Commission is all about planting seeds. Jesus seeds. Seeds of faith. That's what this is all about that he calls us to. And like this parable, we're to plant seeds in all sorts of soil. The first one, I pictured it almost like picture yourself like one of those big fluffy dandelions, all right? I know we're talking broadcasting seed and stuff, but picture yourself on this. And as you're walking around, you know, those puffballs or the fluffy seeds just shoot off from you all over the place. You don't know where they're going to land. Some will land on the road. Some will land in the ditch. Some will land into somebody's field. And somebody will land in somebody's lawn and turn it yellow for a while. You know, all this stuff. But just walking through life, we should be casting seeds. And I thought, what a great example. I know it's not exactly agricultural, but, you know, our life of seeding fields is just us living it. As you go through life, those things just start floating off from you. That's legit. That's definitely that. Your life is your testimony. This is the kind of seed that gets spilled along the way, by the way. So much of that seed might not bear any fruit. You know, if you're got a crack in the wagon and seeds busting through as you're heading to the field, some of that seed could take root somewhere. Might not just fall along the path and get ground up, or the birds might not just get it. It might accidentally sprout somewhere. Walking through life as you're casting these seeds, it might accidentally fall on somebody you had no intention of ministering to. But God did. Talk about a miraculous accident, or an accidental miracle. I don't think any miracles are accidental, but for us they might be. But much of that seed might not bear fruit. People aren't ready to receive your message. They might reject it. They might trample it down so that it doesn't take root in their life. It can happen. It does happen. Maybe they don't want to change. They're not ready to change. They might not even realize that you're trying to share with them. So it just gets brushed off. But some could take root. But we're called to be more deliberate too. Like I said, the planting of those faith seeds. And sometimes it could be like one of those broadcast spreaders. I think like when you're out there like trying to seed your lawn with one of those broadcast spreaders. It just goes all over the place, right? That's kind of how they sowed the seed back then. They didn't have a big drill to get this stuff down into the ground. They might work up the ground a bit. Actually, you know what? God did most of that work for them. He softened the ground up all season long because in the summertime, their ground gets about like brick. As we read in Scripture, you know, we have the different rainy seasons, and they credit that. They give God the glory for that, for preparing that soil for the seed to take. Either way, they would broadcast it. They'd throw it out there. Like planting that grass seed and scatter those seeds all over the place. But those seeds just stay on the surface unless you mix them up a little bit, right? So these are the kind of seeds that end up in the rocky ground or with the thorns and the weeds. Some receive those faith seeds with great excitement, great joy. But like we talked about last week we talked about counting the cost. When Jesus says, you know, when people say, hey, I'll follow you. And he says, well, you know, the foxes, I have no place to lay my head. You know, counting your costs. They didn't count the costs of following Jesus. They may not be aware of the burdens and struggles on this path. So they don't get, and they don't get a depth to their faith, and may find themselves among the many backsliders. And you start off strong and almost fierce and excited, full of this, I want to go and do this, and then life hits, and you realize, this is harder than I thought. And it's not just our faith where we get these feelings anymore, you know. If it's hard, then sometimes we really have to question whether we want to do it. It may sound cliche, but if it's hard, it's worth doing. Some let the burdens of the world overtake them. That would be the weed, the thistles and the thorns. Some let the burdens of the world overtake them. Many struggle with too many things that get in the way of their relationship with Jesus, and it chokes out the spiritual nourishment of their faith. Busy, busy, busy. My professor that I had my first semester, and he's my professor again this semester, he says that the word busy is actually an acronym for burdened under Satan's yoke. That's what he calls busy. He says, I'm too busy to do this. You're burdened under Satan's yoke. And one of the guys that's in class with me right now, he's kind of taken this path along with me. He's an associate pastor at one of our churches up north a little bit. And he says, hey, wasn't he the guy? He remembered that from the first semester. Matter of fact, before Dr. Nisley even said it this time, you know, he's like, oh yeah, and he used it. Apparently that had a great impact on him 2 years ago. This whole idea of being burdened under Satan's yoke. I'm probably going to have to give him some kind of copyright money out of this, but that's just one of the things that he talks about, and perhaps doubt creeps in and takes over, lies and deceit of the world. So let me ask you something. Knowing these risks and possible failures, should we still try to plant in these conditions? It's hard. You know, even along the path, or the rocky ground, or the weed-covered ground, the thistles, the burdens, should we still put forth our effort to try and seed in these conditions, in these soils? Yeah. They're not rejecting you. Jesus reminds us that over and over. God reminded Moses of that. He says, they're not listening. He says, they're not rejecting you, Moses. They're rejecting me. But you keep doing what I'm calling you to do. He said, you never know when one might sneak in there and bear much fruit. It doesn't sound like it would be an easy task by any means, but we should we give up on these seemingly barren fields? No. Did God give up on you is the question here too. As we read through God's Word, how often do we see Him rejected or forgotten or, you know, He's there, but, you know, it's kind of, I know He's our God, but, you know, this is, how often do we see that? And how often do we see Him actually outright rejecting them? He punishes. But we know how this turns out. The fact that we're reading Jesus' words, that's a symbol, that's a sign of His lack of rejection. Because what do we see over and over and over again in Scripture from God? We see pursuit. Pursuit of His people, of His creation, of the ones that He made in His image. He sent prophets to turn people, warn them, say, hey, you're not doing what I'm calling you, what God has called you to do. If you don't straighten up, bad things are going to happen. He sent these guys over and over again, and they were rejected, and they were not treated all that great. He came right out and told them. And He says, you know what? I'll go down there myself. He left heaven. God left heaven to put on a fleshy us, to be with us. to live with us, to show us, to communicate with us, to dwell and abide with us. He says, I'll go down there and tell him myself. And when he did, what did he do? He also allowed himself to be rejected, to be tortured, to be beaten, to be thrown up on a cross. Ultimate rejection. He allows himself to be rejected over and over again. And then after that, what do we see? A little thing called the resurrection. Not really all that little. And after that, he still says, come to me. After all of this, he says, come to me. Whenever we're feeling rejected or feeling like the fields that we're sowing in are too tough, we should go back to that little thing right there. Time on the cross, time in the tomb, time out of the tomb, and saying still, come to me. He continually pursued us. He warned us. He welcomed us. He left heaven. He became one of us so that he could sow seeds through that rejection, through that coming back. And God is love. That is why all of this is because God is love. I'm not talking lovey-dovey love. You know, fluffy, you know, puppy love or anything like that. We're talking God love. We're talking anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. 1 John 4:8. We're talking about this kind of love. What kind of love does God have for us? Unconditional. Sacrificial. That's the kind of love that He has for us. Unending. It's perfect love. Love that we can never fully comprehend. And yet, we're called to have this kind of love for others. And not just, you know, our friends and family, not just our church family, for all you guys in here. For everybody out here. He reminds us over and over again, Leviticus, he says, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Matthew 19:19, he says, honor your father and mother. Hear that, kids? Just so you know. He says, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then just Wednesday night, we covered this one. James 2:8 says, if you really fulfill the royal law. Notice these last two are about law. You know, Jesus says, well, you know, what are the two greatest laws? Right? He says, what's the greatest law? Somebody asked him. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your soul. Well, I've done that. He says, well, what about loving your neighbor? Because the second one is like it. Well, Galatians, this is Paul talking about it. And then James, the brother of Jesus, comes out and says, if you really fulfill the royal law, according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. Over and over and over again, Scripture gives us the whole love your neighbor. And he's not talking about the guy next to you, down the road from you. He's talking about everyone. You can go through the parable of the Good Samaritan, but we don't have time for it today. Anyway. And these are just a few examples from Scripture of that exact command. That exact law, the way they put it there. So sometimes cast seed on, we cast that seed on prepped ground with a bigger planter, you know. Planting those seeds in deliberate places. Because now we're moving on from the hard places, but then there's some of that soil that we sow into has been well prepped, well groomed, you know. Get in there with your big planters or whatever and plant those seeds. Getting those seeds into the dirt, getting them nourished. Or sometimes it's like in your backyard garden, you know. It's a little more hands-on and getting your hands dirty and deliberate placement of those seeds. Deliberate nourishment of those seeds. Making sure you're getting those weeds out or pruning the stuff back, unless it's our garden, you know, just saying. Weeding isn't fun. Pruning isn't fun. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. But when we do that, it bears much fruit, and it's very personal. And the fruit that's, if Is it me, or is the fruit like, or in the vegetables out of your own garden usually better than anything you get, just because it could taste horrible and you're still thinking it's better because of all the work you put into it, right? You know, this is a really good tomato. Here, you try a bite. You know, but there's something about, you know, seeing that fruit from the work of your own hand. We do this as we're raising up our kids, but raising up our kids is only one example of it. This is fulfilling one of the main purposes of the church. Hebrews 3:13 says, "But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by deceitfulness of sin." So as long as you have today, you've been given a chance to not only plant seeds, but plant seeds, nourish seeds, and even harvest seeds. Every day that God gives you, Psalm 118 here says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it," that we have today to work in His fields. Or your own little garden. There's so many fields to tend. Big fields, little fields, your garden, however big or little your garden is. Some will be tougher than others. But don't be mistaken, this is your calling. Yours. Yours, 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 yours. Collectively, yes, it's our calling, but this is your calling. And just like the reminder that we need to be tended to and pruned now and then, there's a blessed reason for all this tending. Simply put, by Jesus. Where is it? I must not have it on here. Jesus put it simply in John 15:8, says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." By following me, by tending these fields, by planting these seeds and nourishing these things, my Father is glorified, he says. And by the way, we've been adopted into that family, so his Father is our Father too. Our Heavenly Father is glorified through this, these tendings of these fields. So I'm going to leave you with this. What and where are our fields? Your fields. What can we be doing to tend those fields? Your fields. And what can we do together to say to our Heavenly Father, how about this one? Isaiah 6:8. What can we do to be like Isaiah here? It says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, here I am, send me." Send me. This is where we need to get to. Right here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this month-long discussion of harvest and that reminder of the harvest is people, your people, these people that you want to turn back to you. And the mission, the burden, the care that you give to each one of us to help fulfill this mission and tend those fields and bring those people to you, to just point them to you and allow you to do your work in their lives. This can be a struggle for many of us to step out in faith, to dare to be one of your workers, one of your laborers. But through daring and taking that step of faith, we're glorifying you. Not for our glory, but yours. So Father, as we take this in and reflect back on this discussion of the harvest and what this harvest really means, we ask that you help us remember always the urgency the urgency that you have on the, in this mission, as long as we have today, to be your ambassadors, to be your laborers in the field, to be your disciples, to be your people. Help us see that. Help us follow that. Take it to heart. And follow the greatest example there is on this mission. And it's your Son, our Savior, Jesus, that dared to step out of heaven. That dared to come live among people that didn't like Him or didn't know Him. And that dared to do everything it took to bring forgiveness to those people. Us. We thank You for that forgiveness. We thank You for our salvation. We pray that we have a part in turning people to You and them gaining their salvation as well. Help us keep ever present in this. We love You, we thank You, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.